HBS, the home of truth, freedom, and liberty.
Welcome back to By Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. Now here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is the 3rd of April, year 2001. The title of tonight's program is The Ark of the Covenant. Our guest is Jah, J-A-H, from Ireland, and we're discussing his attempts to get into the Mound of Tara, where Tia Tefi is buried, and with her, hopefully, the Ark of the Covenant, according to the evidences that Jah has. And before the break, before we get back to that, hold on just a second, I want to give a thank you out there to the Boyd family down there in Arkansas. We want to thank you for your kind letter and generosity. We also want to remind everybody that the IRS versus Joe Bannister is on 60 Minutes 2 tonight. And we also want to remind everybody about the campaign going on nationwide to boycott products made in China. And the reason for that should be obvious to one and all. So again, Jah, you were interrupted there by the break. Did you finish what you wanted to say about that?
Not quite, no, but I'll continue if I may.
Okay.
Thank you. Another piece of evidence that also proves me right and proves the archaeologists to be wrong about the Mound of the Hostages being Stone Age is the fact that in 1997, one of their own archaeologists did an excavation at the side of the Mound of the Hostages, between the Mound of the Hostages and the bank, which is called Rathnarai, which is the bank of the, it's the outer enclosure of, it's called the Fort of the Kings. Rath is a fort, a hill fort. And Rathnarai, Rai is, or Ri in Gaelic is king, so it's the Wrath of the Kings. And the archaeologist excavated underneath the bank of the Wrath of the Kings, right at the side of the Mound of the Hostages, and found the remnants of an iron foundry underneath the bank. And it was a female archaeologist. She was digging then closer and closer and closer to the Mound of the Hostages, still finding remnants from an iron foundry. And she stopped just short of, literally just short of the Mound of the Hostages, and was still finding iron residue. And I believe that they stopped her there because if she'd have gone any further, she would have found iron residue underneath the Mound of the Hostages, which would have proved beyond any shadow of a doubt that it wasn't Stone Age, because you can't have a Stone Age mound with iron underneath it. And so I've done an awful amount of research into this and into the books. And I'm absolutely sure about this, plus the fact that I knew it was there before I came and did this research, because I was shown. And then when I was physically there, I was shown again by Yahweh. And what I need is for the people, as I've said, to get this request form, make copies for their friends and family, for anybody they can get who will fill it out and send it in. But it has to be a sustained campaign if it's going to have any effect, because the minister is just sitting there in Dublin in her office, and she's just giving me the silent treatment and hoping that I'm going to go away. And of course, I can't possibly do that. I came over to Ireland to do this recovery, and thinking it would only be a couple of weeks, and because it wouldn't take more than a few hours to dig and get into the entrance. And I've been here almost 3 years now waiting for the minister. I got a petition of the local people. I got to know people in the area. I got a petition with well over 500 signatures on it. And where I'm staying is only a small village, so that's a large percentage of the population. And I also got a petition from the people of Gibraltar, where I'd come from, and well over 500 signatures on that. Both of the petitions went to the minister, and she hasn't even acknowledged receiving them. They're just stonewalling, and they just don't want to play the game at all. They don't want the ark recovered. And Satan is using them in order to prevent me from being able to recover the ark, because the last thing that Satan wants is for the ark to be recovered and shown to the world, which then proves that the Bible is true. And nobody then can argue with it. And also, at the same time, because it is in Ireland, and the Irish are the descendants of the tribe of Dan, it would prove that the Irish are part of the ten lost tribes of Israel. And from that, by extension, it would then prove about America and Britain and New Zealand and Australia and all the other... And Paul, in his letter, said that blindness is happened in part to Israel until the time of the revealing. So the ten lost tribes have been hidden for a very long time, and the Ark of the Covenant has been hidden even longer. And the two things would be revealed at the same time. The recovery of the Ark would prove who the ten lost tribes are and reveal it to the world. And when Paul said that blindness is happened in part to Israel, it's been slightly mistranslated, because what it really should say is that blindness has happened to part of Israel, meaning the ten lost tribes, until the revealing. And once the ark is recovered, then people then have to return to keeping the covenant. They can't say the Bible's a fairy story and that somebody made it up and it never existed. It's there. It's physically there. And it would be the focal point for all of the people who want to keep God's laws. And I know Pastor Dan read you from Deuteronomy, and the recovery of the ark would then be the signal that all the people around the planet, and there won't be many of them, but that all the people around the planet who want to keep God's laws and who want to help each other and put the world right will focus on the ark, and it will be something that they will gather together to the ark to see it, and the power of the ark will start to make the system of Babylon crumble, which I think everybody's looking forward to.
Absolutely. For people who don't have a computer, is there a way to get in touch with you or get this information?
There is, but I've written booklets and things about all of this, but it's all really shown on the website. Maybe they could go to their local library or to a friend next door or a relative and take a look at the website. On the website, there is an address in Gibraltar where they can write to for the booklets. And also, there's my email address for those who are on the computer, where people could email me if they want to.
Okay. Do you want me to give that out for you?
Yeah, please.
Okay. You're talking about Yah Publications?
Yeah.
Okay. You can email Yah at J-A-H... Publications, all together, at EARCOM, which is EIRCOM.net. So that's Yah Publications or Jah Publications at EIRCOM.net.
Jah can also be contacted at the following email address if for some reason the previous one doesn't work. jah@givenet.gi. I repeat, jah@givenet.gi.
So hopefully you'll get some responses from the folks, and we can get some of these request forms coming in there to put a little bit of heat on this Minister of Heritage. To get a move on and allow you to do this dig, as you said, what harm is there, and what are they afraid of?
Yeah. Well, they don't want the ark recovered. There are, you know, you've probably talked to the people about it before, but there are very powerful people who don't want the ark recovered, as well as Satan doesn't want it recovered either, because he set all these people up and made up all their own laws. in order to keep themselves rich and enslave everyone else. And the last thing they want is somebody to recover the ark and upset the apple cart. And so they are doing, you know, they're probably leaning on the minister as well, trying to, you know, make sure that she doesn't give me this license. So we need as much publicity as possible from all around the world, preferably. But it needs to be a sustained campaign. This is the most important thing in the history of the world, because if you read the last page of the Old Testament, Malachi, or Malachi, or however you want to pronounce it, chapter 4, it tells us that just before the end, that Father is going to send Elijah the prophet, and he's going to tell the people that they have to remember and return to the laws, statutes, and judgments that he gave to Moses at Sinai, at Horeb, for all of Israel. And he says that if the people don't return to those laws and get rid of Babylon, that he's going to smite the earth with a curse. And the curse is described in Malachi 4, verse 1. And it says that he will burn everybody up. So this is very, very important. The world has got now, everybody should be able to see that we're in the end times. We're in the times of Sodom and Gomorrah, the times of Noah again. And we've got the ice caps melting, we've got absolutely everything is going wrong. And it's now time for mankind to see that he's going the wrong way, and that if he keeps going in the wrong direction, there is no future. So the only future is to stop, recover the ark, return to keeping God's laws, and put everything right. If everybody went back to keeping the covenant, God, Father has said that he will take away all sickness from the world, and he'll put everything right. But, of course, everyone has their free will to decide whether they're going to do that or not.
Yes. Now, what do you tell people that tried to say that Yahweh's laws are no longer in effect, and, you know, with the coming of Messiah, they were all done away with? How do you feel about that?
That's not true. Not true at all. If you read the New Testament properly, it says, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. And the law will not change in the slightest way until everything and all of the prophecies have been fulfilled." Well, we know that all of the prophecies have not yet been fulfilled. We know that 99.9% of them have. But there's still that 0.1% left to be fulfilled, so the law is still in existence and it is still valid. And that's out of the mouth of Jesus. So these people that say the law has been done away with are working against Jesus, and they claim to be Christians. And, well, you know, that's
I agree with you 100%, but we run into them from time to time. I got a question for you. How do you pronounce the title in Gaelic that Jeremiah had that's in your writings there, the article called Evidences?
Olam Fola.
Olam
Fola.
Fola.
Olam Fola.
Okay.
You don't pronounce the D in Fola. It looks like Olam Fodla. But in Gaelic, they don't pronounce the D, so it's Olam Fola.
Okay. Olam Fola.
Yeah.
And that was the title of Jeremiah, and then when Jeremiah passed away, Tia Teffy's husband took that title, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. And what was his name in Gaelic again?
Iochaid MacDuach.
Okay.
It's very
I'll
hard.
Get it sooner or later, but boy, I have trouble pronouncing some of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I can understand that. Would your listeners be interested in the story about the Leofail, the stone?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, it was brought by Tia Teffy to Ireland, and I've already told you it was on the inauguration mount for over 1,000 years until Fergus took it to Scotland in 500 AD and was crowned Fergus More, Fergus the Great, the first king of the Scots. And he borrowed it from his brother, Machirtach, who was the king of Tara. And he was supposed to bring it back to Ireland, but he didn't do so. He kept it in Scotland. And then all of his descendants were crowned sitting on it in Scotland. And eventually it was moved from Dunad, which is where he took it first. It was moved to Dunstaffnage, Iona. And then it was taken and it was placed at Scone, which is spelled S-C-O-N-E. A lot of people pronounce it Scone, but the Scots get upset because they say it's Scone. But anyway, it was kept there until Edward I defeated the Scots. And it's the same Edward I in the film Braveheart, for your listeners who've seen the film. And he took the stone from Scotland, from Scone Abbey, and took it to London. And he had a hardwood chair built for it, and it was kept in Westminster Abbey. And all of their descendants were crowned sitting on that stone up until the last person to be crowned on it. And this is going to be a big surprise for all of your listeners. The last person to be crowned on that stone was King George VI. Elizabeth II has never been crowned. Not on that stone. And if she's not crowned on that stone, in the eyes of God, she's not the monarch. At 4 o'clock in the morning, on the 25th of December of 1950, four Scottish nationalists took the stone from Westminster Abbey and they took it back to Scotland. And they'd already made a copy of it on which to practice before they went to Westminster Abbey to take the real stone. And they substituted the fake stone, the copy that they'd made, which is made out of Scottish sandstone from around Perth, and they left it at Arbroath Abbey on the night of the 11th of April of 1951. It was found by the authorities on the morning of the 12th of April of 1951, and it was taken back to London, and it was placed in the coronation chair, Edward's chair, and in 1953, Elizabeth II was crowned sitting on a fake stone. The original stone had been taken away in the fourth overturn. If your listeners are familiar with the prophecy in Ezekiel 21, verse 27, it says, I will overturn it. And it will be no more overturned until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. Now, the first overturn of the throne was from Jerusalem to Tara in Ireland. The second was from Tara in Ireland to Scotland. The third was from Scotland to England. So we have the three overturns. And then it tells us that it will be no more overturned until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. Jesus said, okay, when he was asked about the second coming and what the sign would be, he said, when you see the fig tree put forth tender shoots, new shoots, start to grow, know that summer is near. Now, that happened on the 22nd of April in 1948. The fig tree, which was cursed and withered, is the symbol of the Jewish people. And they were cursed and withered for 2,000 years. And then in 1948, on the 22nd of April, 1948, they set up the Jewish state in Israel. And so we then have the sign that Jesus left. Okay. Now, between the 22nd of April, 1948, we come to the 25th of December of 1950. The stone was removed from Westminster Abbey and taken to Scotland, which is where it still will be hidden. And the fake stone was put at Arbroath Abbey and was then taken to London. Elizabeth was crowned on it, so she's never been crowned. So the final fourth overturn to Christ has already started. It started when the stone was taken away from Westminster Abbey by the Scottish nationalists on Christmas morning, which is another clue. It was Christmas Day morning, 4 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Day, that the stone was taken away. And the fourth overturn began. And what will really amaze people will be the fact that in the prophecies, the stone has to continue its journey. It went back to Scotland in 1950. It has to come back to Tara, to the inauguration mound, for the completion of the fourth and final overturn when the Ark of the Covenant is recovered. I don't know if your listeners or even if you have stayed with me with this, but if you have, then you'll know how important this is.
I've read some books that have talked about this.
Good.
I had a question. I'm trying to find my notes here. Now, you say Queen Elizabeth has not been coronated on the actual stone of Scone.
That's right.
Or Scone.
And there's an article on my website. And if they just type in the website, and then after the slash, if they put stone.htm, they can have the full history of the stone of Jacob.
Okay.
Going right from its inception right to now.
So the last...
It's a very, very long article. But they can download it and read it, you know, at home on their computer to their heart's content, or print it out, or do, you know, show it to friends, whatever they want. The truth has to be known. And, of course, the completion of the final overturn is when Christ sits on that stone.
I've read articles saying that the queen is of a different line that isn't rightfully to be an heir to the throne anyway. Do you have any information on that?
I've heard similar stories too. There's supposed to be some admixture of the family, and they were Germans that came over anyway and changed their name to Mountbatten and the House of Windsor, but they're actually of German lineage. And they are cursed by God because he took the throne away from them. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever that the stone she was crowned on was not the real stone. The stone that she was crowned on, the fake that was substituted, was taken back to Scotland in 1996 with a lot of fanfare and everything, a big show, pomp and circumstance. They took the stone back to Scotland, and it's on display in a big glass cabinet in Edinburgh Castle with spotlights trained on it. And the stone is made, it's been analysed by Scottish geologists, and it's made, the one that's in Edinburgh Castle, the one she was crowned on, is made from Scottish Perthshire sandstone. Okay, now we know that the real Leofail was Jacob's pillar, and it was made from porphyry, which is a different kind of stone altogether. It's a different colour, it's a different texture, it's a different weight. It's completely different. Okay, we know that the Leofail, Jacob's pillar, the real stone, the real throne, okay, that was at Tara, then went to Scotland, then went to London, it has a wear mark in the top of it. It has a metal ring on each end, and they placed a pole through those two metal rings and carried it through the wilderness for 40 years with Moses. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the carrying of the stone on that pole wore a groove in the top of the stone, because with the weight of the stone, which was very heavy, it's 458 pounds in weight, it would cause the pole to bend and it would wear the stone. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I have photographic evidence of the wear mark in the top of the original stone, and I have an official photograph that was supplied to me by Westminster Abbey prior to the 1950 theft. It's a black and white picture, but you can see quite plainly, you can see the wear mark in the top of the pole. In E. Raymond Capp's book, he also makes reference, his book Jacob's Pillar, he makes reference to the top of the stone having the wear mark between the two metal rings where it was carried on the pole. And that's a commonly known fact. Now, if we look at the one that Elizabeth was crowned on that went back to Edinburgh in 1996, and some of your listeners may even have been to Edinburgh and seen it. Okay, now it's made of a completely different stone. It weighs only 336 pounds to be precise. So it's a lot lighter than the original. It's made of Perthshire Scottish sandstone, so we know it didn't come from Bethel and it can't be Jacob's stone, and it has no wear mark between the rings on the top of it.
Hmm. Well,
so I can supply you with pictures, that, you know, photographs from that period do not lie. All right, now you can mess around with photographs, you know, with computers and things, and photographs do tell lies now. But this photograph was supplied to me by Westminster Abbey as the official, it's stamped on the back, the official photograph of the stone, and it has the wear mark between the rings. And the one that's in Edinburgh Castle now, that she was crowned on, does not have the pole wear mark in the top of it. And it's made of the wrong stone, and it's the wrong weight, and it's the wrong colour, and everything. So she's never been crowned, which means that the fourth and final overturn to Christ has begun.
Interesting, interesting. So the real recovery of the Ark has been in Scotland since 1950.
That's correct.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is all explained in detail on the website. At stone.htm, my website address, and at the end, stone.htm. It's all explained there.
Yeah,
the recovery now. Let
me give the website out again.
Okay, yeah. It's
http://i.am/jah/stone.htm. I repeat, http://i.am/jah/stone.htm.
And that gives the full history about the removal of the stone. It gives everything there about the stone that's known about it from the beginning until now.
Jah, we got about 1 minute left if you wanted to say something before we have to go.
Well, the recovery of the Ark will cause the people who have the stone in Scotland to take this seriously, and they should then at that point hand over the real stone, which has to come to Tara. Okay, and you're going to like this, because when the Ark's recovered and the stone is placed at Tara, Christ is going to come and sit on the stone and be the King of Ireland, and of obviously the rest of Israel.
Interesting, very interesting. Well, we're about out of time, so I want to thank you for coming on the program, John, and wish you the best.
Okay, I need everybody's help. This is very, very important. And my last statement should show you how important this is. So
absolutely.
Please, everybody, do your utmost to get the minister to give me this license. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, thank you. And Yahweh bless. Thanks for listening, folks. Again, tonight's program was the Ark of the Covenant. We also encourage you to stay tuned an hour from now for Pastor Wickstrom with the End Day Prophecy Hour here on Heritage Broadcasting. Stay strong, stay with Yahweh, and keep your powder dry.